It's time to take this game into overtime. The official podcast of the Average Joe's Sports Show on 90.9 The Light Sports for our generation.
We will get into it right after we talk about the Indians defeating the Blue Jays to advance to the World Series for the first time since 1997. And I have to say, the Andrew Miller trade they made in the middle of the season might... I think Jonathan Lucroy not going to the Indians was the best thing that ever happened to the Cleveland Indians.
Well, they were
going to
do both.
No, so I don't think they were going to do both. I think they were just... I think they turned to Andrew Miller once Lucroy went to the Rangers. So, possibly... Okay, if they had done both, it'd be over right now.
Oh, Jonathan Lucroy is an idiot for not wanting to go to Cleveland. He purposely declined that trade so he wouldn't go to Cleveland.
Yeah, why would you not?
Look at him now. He's sitting at home instead of being in the World Series.
Now, I have to say, he did go to a team that had a better regular season than the Indians, so I can somewhat see his thinking there. But
just
then
unfortunate.
Again, it's just unfortunate.
Because now we get to see Andrew Miller's dominance right now. This guy is lights out. He struck out 14 of the 26 Toronto batters he faced over four games. I mean, he set an ALCS record for relievers, gave up only three hits in almost eight innings in that series, and that's why he won the ALCS MVP. I mean, he's the only fourth reliever to do so. You have Mariano do it in 2003.
That was also the situation of who else was going to get it. Like, there wasn't any one player.
Here's the thing.
It's not like they played lights out
they
offense.
They beat Toronto in five games. And that offense for Cleveland only batted 168.
Exactly. It's not like they had anything going for them.
How is that possible?
Okay, these are Cy Young numbers. This year, pitching for Andrew Miller, he has thrown 74.1 innings. Now, that's not Cy Young number quality. That's not. But in those 74.1 innings, he's given up 42 hits, 13 runs, and 123 strikeouts.
Wait, 13 on how
13
many?
13 runs
how many?
In 74.1 innings.
Yeah, that's Cy Young numbers.
That is Cy Young numbers right there.
That's ridiculous.
And that's why I cried when the Yankees traded him.
And 123 strikeouts.
But, I mean, we sit here and we look at some of these trades that have been made, and the Indians have been so silent in how they've created this team. You look at back in 2012, they traded for Trevor Bowers from the Diamondbacks. You know, they kind of set up some more situations in 2014, getting Mike Clevenger, Coco Crisp. They got him in 2016. This year earlier, like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And so you see them kind of making these really low-key moves that have just built this team. And it almost reminds me in a very weird way. It reminds me of a couple years back, the Seattle Seahawks, how they kind of just had these low-caliber draft picks. They had really subtle trades that created this super team out of nowhere. And so I kind of see the Indians like that,
and
where
that's
they've
why
just had this super team now. Boom.
I'm giving a lot of the credit to why they're in the World Series this year, to Terry Francona.
Absolutely.
This guy has to be in the conversation for AL Manager of the Year.
I think
he's now the MLB
Manager of the Year.
Well, he essentially just coached himself into the Hall of Fame by beating Toronto.
If he can win a World Series, if he can break the Red Sox streak and he can break the Indian streak, maybe you've got to give it the streak. Maybe you can give the ultimate streak breaker to...
Maybe the Cubs
Epstein,
need to hire him.
Epstein, the Cubs.
Theo Epstein,
who was the GM for the Red Sox and built the Red Sox team that won the World Series back in 2004. If he can build the Cubs team that wins the World Series too, that might be the ultimate streak.
Yeah, either
breaker.
Way, you're getting
but
someone who
way,
breaks
yeah.
some streak.
But speaking of this, how many of us want the Cubs to win so that we have this ultimate
streak? How many of us want it to be a Cubs-Indians World Series?
Oh, that would be amazing.
It would be phenomenal.
Because
that would be
one of the two would have to end. So
because that's what we saw last
great
year.
Great offense versus great
I
defense.
Mean, the story of last year was who's going to beat the streak between the Royals and the Mets, and those were only 30-year droughts of not winning the World Series. If you get Indians versus Cubs, Indians haven't won since... I think 1948, and the Cubs, we know, over 100 years ago in 1908.
Forever ago.
So, I mean, one of those teams might end up winning. But going back to the Indians, you got Andrew Miller, and when his slider is on, when that slider is in full control,
it's unhittable.
Unhittable.
Well, and now the situation that we do have to look at is how quickly will Trevor Bauer's finger heal? I mean, we saw it explode.
And they might get Danny Salazar back for the World Series, too, because he hasn't pitched since September.
Right, but they have to make sure that he's healthy, because even if he starts pitching for one, two innings,
you can't have him leave in the second inning
again. There's a possibility that if that happens, the Cubs are going to eat that up. If they make it, they have the power on offense to say, ha, this one guy, he couldn't keep up with us, we're gonna crush him. And we've seen that happen with the Dodgers.
Not that, but bullpens, the Royals showed bullpens win World Series. So if they wear out the bullpen in one game because the starter can only go for two innings, I mean, I know that Terry Francona has showed that he is a master at using his bullpen.
Oh, and he rotates so well.
But still, I mean, if they can wear that bullpen down in one game and not allow him to be at full strength the rest of the series, then that could be a major factor.
Well, it shows into also the selflessness of someone like Andrew Miller, who he only won that MVP for the ALCS because of his selflessness and Terry Francona using him correctly.
Now, question, but real quick. If you come to game seven, and you have Andrew Miller rested because he hasn't had to throw much before then for some weird reason, do you start him?
No. No,
but
they won't be.
In game seven?
They won't be hesitant to use him in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning.
In game seven?
You don't start him.
You don't start him?
He hasn't started.
Why would you not start your best pitcher?
He hasn't started in years. You put him into the fourth, fifth inning, seventh inning. Do what you want. Pitch him three innings in the middle. But just get one of your starters who's used to starting the game. It's all about psychology. You don't start that now, especially in baseball. You don't throw someone out there who hasn't started, who hasn't had to warm
up
in the game
right
then.
But it's not like he's never started a game in his life.
It's been 5 years or so.
That's a situation where I'd wonder if they get Danny Salazar like not playing, and if they get to game seven, they put them in to see, because at that point they just need shutdown and they can rotate their whole entire bullpen through that game. And we've seen Terry Francona be able to do that very effectively and then put Andrew Miller in, and it would just shut everything down.
Here's the thing. Would you rather have Andrew Miller shut out the first four innings or innings 6 through 9?
It depends.
Or something.
See, it really
you have
depends.
A better chance
really
of shutting
depend.
Down those last few innings, though.
I know,
because,
but it depends, because the Cubs, if they start early, it doesn't matter who starts pitching in the fourth and fifth. We saw that the other night. They started very slow, and a bunt turned into 10 runs by the end of the game.
Well, the only way we're having this conversation is because Andrew Miller is willing to pitch anytime, at any place. This guy will pitch in the first inning, the fourth inning, and the ninth inning, and that attributes back to his character and his selflessness. Going back to the Yankees got Chapman and Miller and Betances in that bullpen, one of the best bullpens in the beginning of the year. Miller was able to take away his closer role.
Chapman and Miller could be going up against each other.
Chapman, when the Yankees traded for Chapman, they had to make him his closer because he wouldn't pitch any other inning. He's got that closer mentality where I'm only pitching the ninth inning. You put me in safe situations only. And Andrew Miller was the closer before that. He said to the Yankees, pitch me whenever. I don't care. I'm getting my money. I don't care when you pitch me. I will go out there and be lights out for you any time of the game.
All right,
and that's what you want
think
with
about,
a player.
Think about this. All right. So we're saying that you wouldn't start him. Comes down, final inning. You're up by one run. Would you rather have Aroldis Chapman or Andrew Miller?
Andrew Miller. His slider's...
Wow, that was a quick answer.
Oh, his slider is
over 106 mile an hour. 100, okay, well, we'll be realistic. 102, 103. But...
I mean, we've already seen him in the playoffs blow a game. Chapman's psyche, there's something off where he may not... We haven't seen him in big moments that much. I mean, he played for the Cincinnati Reds. He never got to pitch in big moments. Andrew Miller
The Reds don't have that many big
Andrew
moments.
Andrew Miller has played for the Yankees for 2 years, Boston for many years. Now he's won the ALCS MVP.
He also played in two College World Series whenever he was at Carolina.
He did, yeah. So. This guy has pitched in big situations, and his slider is so unhittable right now because he has that control. it's hard to go against Andrew Miller as something other than the best reliever in baseball right now.
Okay, well, you know, okay, fine, we'll go with Andrew Miller. Being a former pitcher, I would take 103 any day of the week. You literally can't see it. You can't see the ball. So, but anyways, all right, we'll move on to Cubs Dodgers. This game 6 at Wrigley, the Cubs are up 3-2. We all remember what happened the last time the Cubs played a game 6 at Wrigley Field with the series 3-2 in Chicago's favor. The famous foul ball that changed the entire series. The Marlins ended up going on to beat the Cubs in 7. Steve Bartman's life will never be the same.
Someone was watching 30 for 30 last night.
I watched Catching Hell 30 for 30 ESPN. It only felt right. I thought about watching Fever Pitch after that.
Well, now we need to watch Major League, too.
We need to watch Major League, too, because of the Indians.
Yeah.
So if we can get ESPN's 30 for 30 Catching Hell and Major League 2 going at the same time tonight or before the World Series starts, we got to do that. But Game 6 is Saturday night. What does each team need to do to win? And the Cubs cannot be not let Steve Bartman into the game.
What about the Billy Goat?
They need to keep any goats as far away from Wrigley Park as possible.
I mean, it's pretty obvious if you're the Dodgers. You got Kershaw going in Game 6. Kershaw's got to be Kershaw. You pretty much have to get...
How short of a leash do you have with Kershaw, though? Do you let him go? Because the Cubs' offense has been on fire the past two games.
That's where we were talking about a second ago, that's where it's really dangerous, because if the Cubs hang on and just – they don't even have to hit Kershaw. But if they hang on and get the pitch count up a little bit higher and Kershaw gets pulled in the 4th, 5th, 6th, somewhere around there, that's when they may get to the point where we're like, look, we just need to hang on defensively. As soon as they change him out, boom, we're going to go nuts.
And you have to watch out for Kenley Jensen, who's been lights out, too.
Exactly.
And Dave Roberts has shown he can put his closer in at any time of the game as well.
This game, the Dodgers, it is a must win. They have to win this game. So they have to give themselves a chance in Game 7. So it's not going to matter. They will put whoever out there that they need to put out there whenever the situation arises.
They'll even consider putting Rich Hill into this game if they have to, because he's going to be pitching Game 7. But he's been lights out as well.
Yeah,
he's been lights out. They haven't been able to hit him either. So,
but in a situation like this, this is what I'm looking at, is you have two pitchers who play well, who Kershaw is Kershaw. He's going to be able to keep pretty much everything at bay for the most part. But the thing that I'm wondering about is the Cubs never had a chance to really see him during the regular season. And that was one of the reasons why he was so dominant Sunday night. Right. So he was super dominant. They weren't ready for it because they hadn't seen him this season. Now they've seen him. And I'm wondering if some of those players may have and I'm not saying that they're going to just, you know, hit home runs and stuff like that, but they may have a little bit of Kershaw down now.
I think you're overlooking Kershaw had a 1.79 ERA in the year. This guy has been the best pitcher in baseball the last 5 years. You're overlooking his dominance.
And I'm not saying that they're going to be able to keep up with it, but think about this. You've got Kyle Hendricks on the other side, who is a 2.13 ERA. He's not far behind.
Well, the Dodgers need a hit,
and
too.
What are the Dodgers going to do? I mean,
this is going to be another 2-1 game.
We've seen them struggle so much to get just on base percentages up, let alone have the power to get home runs and score runs like that. They haven't scored a lot of runs. And we look at the last few games, just the last two games, and I want to say, 18? Was it 18 points that the Cubs have scored?
I think so, yeah.
That's a lot.
10 the first game.
Yeah, that's a lot that they dropped. And that was quickly moving forward. I don't want to just say, oh, yeah, the Cubs got it, because I think it's going to be a really close game, and I'm really excited to see what Kershaw does. But at the same time, we've seen the Cubs have a down game. Not two in a row like they did, but we've seen them through the season have a down game and come back, and for the next 3-4 games, just wallop on people.
How much does pressure play into a factor if you're the Cubs?
Oh, huge. Huge. It's got to play huge.
And look at all those young players on that team.
I personally think there's more pressure on the Cubs than the Dodgers.
Oh, there's by far more pressure on the Cubs.
Which I find that so crazy, and I don't know how that
It's because of that history.
What bad omen do you think is going to happen tonight at Wrigley? Okay, last time,
lightning.
Who was it who's saying the seventh inning stretch? He's saying, God, who was it? Because he's saying,
I don't remember.
He's saying something about champs in it, and they hadn't won yet. It was some famous actor.
Well, this is the team. I mean, it's slipping our minds, but yeah. This is the team that got swept by the Mets in the NLCS last year. Same team, and they have that in their mind. They have that in their mind where they lost on their home field.
But they lost in Wrigley and got sent home by the Mets. But at the same time, we see
the
this.
The Cubs made it to the NLCS last year?
It was Cubs-Mets. And Mets swept them in four games and beat them in Wrigley to send them home.
We see these type of things happen. And I, just to bring it, you know, into a visualization, what did the Broncos do when they lost horribly in the Super Bowl? That stayed in their mind. And they came back, not the next year, but the year after. And this last year, they were dominant with no quarterback. They built their team correctly. And then they really kind of just owned the Super Bowl this last year. But in a situation like that, I don't know. Maybe it was good that they lost last year because now it's in their mind and they know that feeling and they don't ever want to feel that again.
The Broncos didn't have to go against two pitchers who have sub-2 ERAs in the season.
So
yeah, but they did have to go against a really, really good.
So let's staying on baseball because as much as I love football, I cannot relate football to baseball whatsoever.
I just did.
Totally different sport.
Anthony Rizzo. Now this is an interesting story. I know we gotta hurry up on this segment before we do get to college football.
What?
As I said we would earlier, Anthony Rizzo was historically struggling in the playoffs until he did something that nobody would expect would change something. He changed his bat.
Changed his bat. His baby.
His baby wasn't treating him very well. His baby was up
crying. One for 23.
His baby was up crying all night, and he didn't like it very much. So he changed to Matt Caesar's baby. And Matt Caesar's baby hit a home run for him in the fifth inning after he had gone 0-for-2. And not only did he hit a home run, he went 3-for-3 the rest of the game after changing bats.
When I played, I used to
do
that.
Okay, the lifelong question in baseball. Is it the bat or is it just mental?
It's both. It's got to be mental. In a situation like that, I mean, I grew up with two older brothers and we had the same exact baseball bat. But if I could use my older brother's bat, I was all of a sudden Babe Ruth.
You felt like you could hit better.
It was like through
now,
osmosis.
For most people, it would be, man, if I could only use Anthony Rizzo's bat, man, I could get... But you know what Anthony Rizzo said? He said Matt Caesar's bat had some hits in it.
I gotta start using that.
I gotta start using that.
It worked.
But who wins this series? Real quick, who wins the series? And one reason why.
I'm going on a limb. I gotta go Dodgers.
Don't do it.
I feel like Kershaw and Hill.
Why would
have just
you
been,
say that?
If the Dodgers win tonight, you do know that Wrigley is going to be silenced because it's going to be like, no way is this happening.
Nobody's
going to
cheer. It's going to be the creepiest game we've ever seen if that happens because nobody's going to say anything. It'll just be silent and the baseball, and then crack.
All right, Kyle. Your prediction.
I've got to go with the Cubs. I've got to believe that this can happen.
And I have to agree with you.
Like, it has to happen.
It's got to eventually happen, and why not? This is the year.
If they don't do it this year, can they get back here next year? I mean, this is the year. They build teams to win.
This team to win, and they almost made it last year. They're back now. They felt the taste of defeat.
They have to
and
do
they
it.
Do not want to feel that ever again. I do not want to see
there's
them
lose. There's this feel with the Dodgers and Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts has been out managing Joe Maddon. I mean, if you can't hit Kershaw and Hill, it's over.